This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They need to come back tonight because the
thought of
going to Indianapolis down 0-2 doesn't do anything for anybody around here. I can tell you that. They're going into the game, and they are reeling just a little bit. And, well, maybe a little bit more than a little bit. You know, Darius Garland, we knew, was injured going into the last couple games, last three games he's been out. We'll see. He said on TV the other night, he said he wanted to play in game two. We'll see if that's the case. Kenny Atkinson yesterday, not painting a very good picture about any of these guys that might become. Evan Mobley is dealing with ankle issues after game one.
We just heard Kenny call them both doubtful in his "where you think he's going to get fined" comment from yesterday that we're going to play again.
And DeAndre Hunter, the other guy, in doubt as we talk about. So all three of those guys questionable. Is that the word we're using then? Is that what the word he used?
Kenny used doubtful.
Doubtful. So
that's bigger than questionable.
Oh man. All right, again, I want to play that cut again for you, what Kenny Atkinson had to say about just being frustrated by the injuries and the no calls.
Here it is.
Unfortunate for us, I don't think this is on India. I have so much respect for how they play. They're hard playing dudes. But the fact of the matter, I think that's on the referees. Maybe they were missed calls, or maybe I'm misinterpreting the rules. But I have a problem when we got two of our best players doubtful for tomorrow's game. It's hard for me to get my head around that. And there were no calls on either one. So never haven't talked about referees all year. And I think the referees in this league are phenomenal and they do a great job. And that was a darn good crew did last night. But for some reason, it bothers me that, you know, we're dealing with this. It shouldn't, at least there should be some, you know, repercussions in terms of making a call.
Is that finable? Because I first time I heard it, I was like, oh, he's dogging the refs.
He did say missed calls.
He said missed calls. Okay, well, that's not.
Or perhaps he's misinterpreting the rules.
Yes. Is that egregious? Egregious enough to get you fined?
Oh, anything's enough to get you fined.
Does he have a point?
I'll bet he doesn't get fined.
He did a good job of kind of dancing around the, without being mean about it, right? He wasn't. He came back and complimented the referee, saying that they were very good. It was a good refereeing crew. But again, you have to say, like, I think most referees in any sport, when they turn to a head coach or a manager or in any situation, if they turn to the manager who might be complaining, or they turn to, you know, the head coach and say, "Coach, I didn't see it." Now, it's a little different when you have replay. It's a tough argument from a coach or a head coach's point of view. You can't argue something that somebody didn't see. So whether it existed or not only mattered to the person who was making judgment. And if they're making judgment, then what are you supposed to do?
So if a tree falls in the forest, is that what you're saying?
Basically, I just think the golden rule is if a referee is, you know, brave enough to say, "Coach, I didn't see it," I think you have to respect that as a manager or as a coach.
Although, aren't they supposed to see it?
It is impossible to see everything that's going on at all times in any game. If you want, I can go toe to toe with you on this one. If you want to argue,
I
think you're playing devil's advocate.
Absolutely.
Yes, I can. I smell it.
But they looked at it. They replayed it.
That's what bothers me.
There's the catch.
Yeah. Especially on the Hunter call.
You know, the only thing I would say about no calls on those two situations, especially the Hunter play.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, weren't they kind of letting him play a little bit?
There's still a point where it gets a little egregious, especially when a player's in the air, right? Earlier in the game, the Cavs took a call for a light tap on the back while a player was in the air.
Guys get their hands hit all the time.
But if you get hit while you're shooting, they call a foul on him most of the time.
Well, Golden State just had this whole situation where the Rockets were going after Steph Curry's injured thumb, right, with Dylan Brooks?
Yeah.
Is this a similar type of thing? And Dylan Brooks said, hey, if there's a guy who has an ankle injury, I'm attacking that ankle all game long because it's within the rules. I wonder,
as long as you're not egregious.
Right, as long as you're not egregious about it. Is this the same type of thing? I'm not sure that it is, but you know, you're allowed to hit after the shot.
Yeah, but I mean,
according to what Steve Kerr said, it's within the rules, but it shouldn't be, is what his thought was.
To essentially punch a guy in the chest? I mean, that's
that happens almost every possession, Andy, in the NBA. I mean, it's the most physical, non-physical sport that's out there.
Well, that's a good point too. Do you think there's an issue, and I bring this up every year, that you play the regular season one way and then you play the playoffs another way?
I don't think it's anywhere near it used to be. I mean, it used to be just, you know, like a battle royal. These guys are just hanging on to each other and pushing and shoving and everything else. It might be a little bit different. They let them, as they say, they let them play in game one.
Yeah,
there are games in the regular season where they let them play. You know, it's kind of like a baseball home plate umpire's strike zone. Okay, what's the tone of this game going to be? All right, they're going to let us play. Mm-hmm. What's this?
Unfortunately, it takes an at-bat to figure that out.
Am I getting the high fastball? I'm not. Okay, I got to live low in the zone if I'm a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it takes a little while to figure it out. But games are all called somewhat differently because people are different.
Right.
You know, different human beings.
I'll sit here the way I did yesterday. I'm not going to sit here and blame the referees for the Cavaliers' loss. They were horrible shooting three-pointers. That's a team loss.
They weren't good.
They didn't come out.
They weren't Celtic bad, but they weren't good.
No, and they also didn't come out like with the intensity that Indiana had. I mean, they set the tone.
Yet they came back and took the lead, Andy.
Yeah, no, I know. So I still think Indiana set the tone and then didn't fold at the end. When they had a chance to fold, like we watched so many teams fold throughout the year. So
percentage-wise, by the way, the Cavs were slightly better than, or worse than Boston, but at least they didn't jack up 60 of them. Poor, that sound you heard was Red Auerbach's head exploding.
He's more worried about just rolling out the ball cart at halftime and making sure that there's no entertainment.
Good idea.
Yeah. So all right, let's talk about all three guys. If Garland's out again tonight, what does that mean?
It means we're going to have the debate: would Darius Garland make a big difference? I hate to make it that simple. How could missing an all-star caliber guard not be a difference? Of course, it's a difference, and anybody who thinks it's not is mistaken.
It's funny how when you win by 40, though, everyone says, "Did you notice he wasn't playing?"
Well.
Did they really need him? That was actually a storyline last week. Did they really need him?
Things went so well in the regular season that there were no bad storylines about the Cavs in the regular season. There just weren't. Right?
Right.
And you know, the other aspect of this is the Cavaliers were so healthy during the regular season. And that's something that, you know, we're dealing with this now. I mean, Donovan Mitchell missed 11 games. Darius in the regular season missed only 7.
Yeah, and no one had to get their mouth wired shut this year.
Right, and some of these were just, you know, resting here and there and everything else. Evan missed 11 games. Jared Allen played in all of them. So their key guys, for the most part, I mean, nobody missed 20, 30 games, something like that. They were relatively healthy for most of the regular season.
Well, again, it'd be nice to have Garland back, and I think we all know that if they can get him back tonight. And you have to wonder, you know, obviously, you know, he told TNT the other day that he was hoping to come back for this game.
But what's he going to say? Nah, you know what? Feels a little bad. I don't think I want to go.
Yeah, they should just go ahead and plan for the fact that I'm not going to be playing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do that. Forget it, guys. I'm out.
I'm a little even more concerned about Evan Mobley because we saw what his potential was. He just wasn't able to give them, I don't know, a couple more points to help them win the game last night or 2 nights ago. So, I mean, Mobley, And this ankle sprain, I think, is probably, it's right up there with Garland, obviously. But the concern, and especially knowing the way he played, like, you know, it was even brought up during the broadcast that it was, you know, look, Evan Mobley's playing a different game than he did a year ago, especially aggressively in the offensive zone. Well, yes, I know people want him to shoot like more, but you want him to shoot more. But
well, I'd like him to shoot more. The issue here is, and I'm sorry, just because a guy might touch the basketball doesn't mean he should shoot the basketball when he gets the ball. You know what I mean? You might not be in position. It might not be designed for that. Could he be a little more aggressive? Sure. Why not? But the one thing I think to keep in mind, and I did some double checking on this, Evan in the playoffs has never taken more than, 15 shots in a game, but once. And that one time he did was game 5 against Boston last year. He had 33 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. Mm. So the dude took 24 shots in that game. Only game in his playoff career, and he's played in 22 playoff games, where he took more than 15 shots. I want to see him take more than 15 shots. I want the Cavs to get him the basketball and tell him to score. And then I want him to do it. One game, that's it, where he's taken more than 15 shots in a playoff game, and he had 33 points. Now, they lost. But you going to blame him? He had 33 points. Jarrett was out in that game. This playoff, Sandy, so far, and it was Miami, you know, and that was easy. And then, you know, the first game here, he has a high of 13 field goal attempts. That's it. So he's not been a focal point of the postseason offense. One of the games was the last game against Miami where he didn't play a whole lot because they were just drilling them. But in his career, he just doesn't. He takes about the same number of shots in the playoffs as he does in the regular season. Keep that in mind. It's not like they're asking this guy to take 18 shots a game. I wish they were.
All right. I also want to talk about DeAndre Hunter. We'll talk about that coming up on the other side of the break. The other thing is this the worst-case scenario that we're looking at right now with the Cavaliers? 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Plus, we're going to take your phone calls when we come back. Mary Kay Cabot at 11. Joe Vardon did not paint a very good picture yesterday.
From the Athletic,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have to. Facts are facts.
True.
Mobley, ankle. Hunter, thumb. Garland, big toe. The one thing to remember about Darius, if anybody has ever had a big toe injury of any sort, it can go south on you real quick when you think it's okay.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're walking or, you know, if you're like us, you walk, it's like, ooh, that's sore. I can't imagine playing NBA basketball and not being able to. I mean, everything, all of your push comes from the big toe, right? And so if he gets out on that floor, there's no guarantee that it's going to hold up. And that's a really bad thing.
Have you had a Sergeant Hawker there?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
And I mean, like it sounds painful if you're a non-professional athlete alone. I can't imagine what'd you do?
When I worked in Beaumont.
Oh, here we go. We need like music. We have 13 years. We need like a Beaumont.
We used to have to go upstairs to go to this printer to get the NBC feed printer thingy. And this was an old theater building.
Okay.
And I was in my 20s.
That's how Channel 23 was in Akron, too.
I would go upstairs, and then it was just this long hallway, and it was straight, turn right, turn left, go up 5 steps. And I used to make it my little thing every night. I would hit the top of the steps and then sprint down the hallway, cut to the right, cut to the left, and take all 5 steps in a single bound.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, no problem. Until one night it was. And I smashed my big toe through a shoe into the... I just missed the top step. And I just bashed my toe. I'm on the ground. I'm you know, nearly weeping. It hurt so badly. It was 2 years before I didn't have pain in that toe.
Are you serious?
I never bothered to go get it checked. I'm sure I busted it. But it was 2 years. It hurt like blazes for 6 months.
I take it you never did anything like that again.
And there, funny, I walked the hallway after that.
Oh, good. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I these guys actually probably got hurt playing, not like...
But
sorry,
silly
injury stuff.
Once you hurt that thing, Andy, it takes a while to. And you know these guys are in great shape; they heal more quickly than any, the rest of us, and they have incredible, you know, medical facilities to help them.
Right.
But if he steps funny, if somebody steps on it, whatever, he can re-injure that thing real quickly.
Mm. And of course, right? I mean, if they don't care, they're going to go for his foot. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
They're going to try to step on his foot all night.
Well, and that's not a foul.
Which I think it depends on how you do it.
You don't think somebody could accidentally step on somebody's
accidentally
toe?
Yes, but yeah. If you do it with intent, that's where the question.
And how are you going to judge that when you're going for a rebound and Darius Garland is behind you?
Yeah,
and you just happen.
What if he's not behind you? What if you go for a rebound and you see that the landing area includes his foot? You're probably going to land on his foot, although that's not good for your ankle.
You don't want to hurt yourself.
I also love the fact that a basketball game has gone from being, wow, I really like how they swallow the whistles, to exactly how we described the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where Mac is teaching the kids how to play basketball and going up against Charlie and D, where it's like, okay, take this steel-toed boot and bash it into their foot, then take this.
It's also the scene from The Longest Yard, right, where they had x-rays of the guards.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, okay, you got to get him here,
left calf.
Go. Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. It just seems weird. Bob is in Euclid. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Jeff, I sprained my big toe playing volleyball one time.
Oh, in the sand,
and,
too, probably,
hurt,
right?
Like, yeah. You know what, didn't it, Bob?
It was 18 months to 2 years before it was right.
Yep.
And, I mean, you're better off breaking a bone than messing the joint up, actually. Because the bone will heal stronger. The joint will maybe never be right. I think that's very troubling. If I could add a comment on load management.
Yeah, go.
And the guy played 51 minutes the other night.
Yep.
In the season that Wilt averaged 50 points and 25 rebounds a game, he averaged 48 and a half minutes a game because he played all the regulation and all the overtime.
That's awesome.
He didn't miss a minute the entire season.
That's
and
awesome.
He ran the court.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's younger, older, or just the way we think, but I would never want to come off the floor.
They said last night in the TNT telecast, Bob's
Thanks,
talking
Bob.
About Mikal Bridges.
Yep.
He hasn't missed a game since junior high school.
Well, there. So he was ready for 51 minutes.
He hasn't missed a game.
He's been training for this thing.
Junior high.
He's been training for this since junior. I love it. I don't know.
I'm going with them on that, but that's what they said last
night.
Does
that bother you that a guy played 51 minutes?
No.
I think
Dude's
it's awesome.
He's out there all the time, man. Good for him.
Especially if you're contributing. Now everyone's got a toe injury for us. Gino is in Northfield. Hello, Gino.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Gino,
you're good.
How's that big toe?
I'll tell you what. I wrestled in high school back in the 1990s, and I got turf toe, and that sounds like kind of what you might have.
Mm.
And till this day, sometimes it aggravates me. It never goes away.
How do you get rid of it?
It's actually what retired Dick Butkus, one of the toughest football players of all time.
And Jack Lambert, too.
Yeah, maybe that's who I'm thinking of. But I'm telling you, every about a month or so, it starts swelling and it gets sore. And that's kind of sounding what it's like.
Yeah, so if I'm Darius and you think you can play, you're going to try and play. But Gino, you just said it. Bob said it. That thing can really flare up on you. I hope it doesn't. You know, if the Cavs are going to win this series, I think they need Darius. And if they're going to lose this series, I don't want the excuse, well, Darius wasn't there. Get him out there. Let's go. You know, let's see what can happen here.
What they're going to do is they're going to tape it up and try and keep it down so it doesn't, you know, flex up. But that's really the only way.
You mean tape it over to your index toe? Is that what you're saying?
My big toe.
Yeah, the big toe. You're saying you're going to tape it up. You're going to tape it to the toe next to it so it doesn't move. So you don't have pain.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Thanks, Gino. Yeah. Appreciate it. I thought yesterday when I was reading somebody's injury report, it called it the great toe instead of the big toe.
It's called the great toe.
It's the great toe.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. Let's all bow down
it's
to the great toe.
It's the great toe. You know, I mean, think about it. It's where you push off and everything else. Why the heck did they even bother with a little toe?
Pinky toe.
Why did they bother with that? I mean, it just sits there, curls under the rest of them.
Yeah, but if you don't have your pinky toe, you're in trouble.
It messes up your balance.
Yeah, you can. And it may be little, but it's very, very important. Come on. Size does not matter in this scenario. You need to make sure you get it straight. Again, looking at this game tonight, I'm hoping that this isn't the worst case scenario, that not all three guys are out for this game. I can't imagine being down 0-2 going over to Indianapolis. That does not sound like a fun escapade. I do think it's interesting that experts still like the Cavaliers in the series, especially when you hear them. They're like, they're going to lose a game. I mean,
the road team won game one in every Eastern Conference semi so far.
Yeah.
You know, you counting Boston out? Nope.
No.
You counting
OKC?
OKC, Western Conference. Yeah. I was thinking, you counting OKC out?
No.
No, of course not. And you shouldn't count the Cavs out by any stretch.
But if they're down three guys tonight, it's like playing with your hands tied behind your back, isn't it? Or
yes.
Do you have great faith in this bench that, you know, you come into this thing, they're like, oh, you know, one of the great things about the Cavaliers is this bench. Well, when this bench has to become the starters, now what?
We've been hearing about the depth, haven't we? All year long. Let's see it. Mm. Hey, Ty Jerome, go. You've played well all year. You've been outstanding. Go. Isaac Okoro, get out there.
I might
not want to shoot, but Isaac Okoro, get out there.
Let's talk to Bill.
Dean Wade, let's go.
We'll talk to him later in the show. Okay. All right, let's take a quick time out. We got Mary Kay Cabot coming up here in just a few moments, so we'll talk to her. We're going to switch over to Browns for a second, but we are coming back to the NBA. We'll be talking about the Cavs.
Yeah,
big game two tonight against the Pacers. Stand by, your chance to talk about it coming up with us throughout the day. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.